This is October 27, 2022. We're in Bedford, Massachusetts at the Edith Norse Rogers Memorial Veterans Hospital. And this tape is part of the Morse Institute Library's continuing Veterans Oral History Project. My name is Jim Ramsey. Our camera person is Maureen Sullivan. And we're very privileged to have with us today Ronald Audley Cole. Welcome, Ron.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Good to have you with us. So we'll start with a little personal background, Ron. May I ask when you were born?
December 6, 1946.
And where were you born?
Brockton, Massachusetts.
Brockton. So please tell us about your life growing up in Brockton, your brothers, if you had brothers and sisters, kind of what it was like growing up, I guess in the 40s and 50s in Brockton.
Only spent a year in Brockton, and then my parents moved to Chester, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And I was there about 10 years. And I loved the countryside.
Was that kind of more of a rural area?
It was a rural area. Two houses down was a dairy farm.
Good. Did you ever work on the farm?
Yes. Used to go out and ride the baler.
Huh.
When they were harvesting the hay for the cows.
What?
That we checked the twine on the bales to make sure it was tight.
Tight. So you got to use your muscles.
Yeah.
On that. Picking up heavy bales of hay.
We didn't pick them up. We'd be riding on the baler.
Oh, I see.
As the bale would come by,
yeah,
after it had been tied off with the twine,
mm-hmm,
we'd check it to make sure it was secure.
Secure. Great. So did you have, so your mother and father were there in New Hampshire. Did you have siblings?
Yes. I had one brother. I have one older brother and one younger sister.
What were their names?
My brother's name was Ford William, and my sister's name was Adele Marion.
I see. Are they still living?
Yes, they are.
And close by?
My brother lives in Cheshire, Connecticut, and my sister is a snowbird. She, between Washington, New Hampshire, and Port Charlotte, Florida.
I see. Very good. So you went to school, public school in New Hampshire for most of your schooling? No.
Just 2 years.
2 years.
And then we moved to Wakefield, Massachusetts.
Ah, back to Mass. And so at that point you were?
Elementary school.
Still elementary school.
Junior high and high school.
At all in Wakefield.
Yes.
Right. So, and you, are you married, Ron?
I've never been married.
Never been married, okay. And before you came here to the Bedford VA hospital, where were you living?
I was living in Lowell. First in the Princeton House, and then the Cunningham House.
I see. Were these veteran?
Veteran group home.
Oh, I see. Group homes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And now you live in Bedford.
Yes.
Right. So you finished high school in Wakefield.
Yes.
And shortly thereafter, I believe, you went into the military.
Yes.
So what were the circumstances of your going into the military?
I received the draft notice.
So that made it pretty clear what you were going to be doing. When was that time-wise?
March 14th, 1968.
You remember the exact date?
Yeah.
That's when you got your notice. So what did you do then?
That was my report date.
You reported, I see. So yeah. You, and where did you report?
The Selective Service Office in Wakefield.
Did anybody else of your friends or whatever, were people getting draft notices and doing the same thing?
I didn't know anybody else in the group.
So when you reported the Fargo building, you were part of a group, but yes. You were on your own.
Yeah.
The Army, I guess, was what you were in, was chosen for you.
Yes.
Would that have been your first, had you given any thought to, you probably knew about the draft. Had you given much thought to it or to alternatives to the Army?
No, I didn't.
No. Well, that's good. So from there, you went to basic training.
Fort Dix, New Jersey.
Fort Dix. And tell us a little bit about what basic training was like, Ron.
Weapons training, hand-to-hand combat, physical training. We did a lot of running.
A lot of running.
Yeah.
What kind of shape were you in when you arrived?
I was pretty good.
Were you in pretty good shape?
Yes.
All that work on the farm and so forth?
Yeah.
Good. So was basic training pretty straightforward for you?
Yes, it was.
And what did you like most about it?
The graduation.
Good. And what were some of your least favorite things about basic training?
Running and the marching.
Running and the
marching.
And marching, running and marching. Yeah. Well, that's probably you probably weren't alone in that. Good. So you finished basic training about when?
About the end of May.
End of May 68.
Yeah.
And did you do any further training, or did you go right to your first duty station?
They sent me to Fort Belvoir, New Jersey. Huh. I mean, Fort Belvoir, Virginia, for advanced training. Power generation equipment repair.
Why did they send you for that training?
You do an aptitude test when you at the when the processing you at the Fargo building.
Oh, right then when you enlist.
Yeah.
So you had some special aptitude in
mechanics.
Mechanical. Was this something? Where did that aptitude come from? Was it your?
Really sure how I developed that.
Something in school or shop or things like that, or just must have been just some innate capability.
Yeah. Yes.
So how long were you at Fort Belvoir?
I was there 8 weeks.
And you came out of that basically fully trained?
Yes.
And power generation equipment, that's like a generator or, what would be examples of power generation equipment?
Generators, they had what they call portable heaters. They were on would repair.
They were electric heaters.
They were gasoline powered.
Okay. For heating like large spaces? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Repair those, and it was mostly generators though.
Mostly power generators.
Yes.
Which I guess are used heavily in the field.
Yes.
I mean, in other words, these are basically mobile power generation units.
Yes.
That would be used when you set up an encampment.
Yes.
Or something and need power for it. A pretty important function.
Yes.
I see. So Once you left advanced training, now we were getting perhaps into the fall of 1968 or something like that. What, where'd you go then?
I went to Kaiserslautern to the 56th Supply and Service Battalion of the headquarters company.
Okay. Which country?
Germany.
In Germany, yeah. I see. How'd you happen to get sent there? Just that's where they wanted you to go?
Yeah.
And what did you do there?
Mostly paperwork.
This Supply and Service Battalion,
yes,
was
filing requisition cards and.
Right. This was in support. This battalion was supporting some.
A lot of the combat units.
Right, and this was during the Cold War, so folks were having to keep a certain state of
readiness. Yes.
Yes, I see. So how long were you there in Germany?
6 months.
Just 6 months. Why such a short time? Because they needed you elsewhere.
Yes.
And where did they need you next?
Vietnam.
Oh.
I was stationed there in Chu Lai. Chu Lai, Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
I was with B Company, 123rd Aviation Battalion. It was part of the 23rd Infantry Division.
23rd, and the 23rd also had another nickname or another name, right?
It was the only named unit, a division in the Army, where had the designation AmeriCal.
AmeriCal.
Division.
You have any idea where that came from? Or what AmeriCal, I mean, America is part of it, but.
American Caledonia.
American Caledonia. Caledonia is.
AmeriCal?
No, I get that.
Yeah.
Forgive my geography. Caledonia is Spain, is. Or
is in the Pacific.
Caledonia is an island.
Yeah.
In the Pacific?
Yeah.
Is that where, I know you mentioned, I think, that the division was in World War II. Is that?
Yes.
Is that where?
World War II, in Korea, and in Vietnam. And when the division pulled out of Vietnam in 1971, the division was disbanded or deactivated.
I see. Well, I never knew what the CAL stood for. So, so you arrived there in Vietnam. So you went. Did you go directly from Germany to Vietnam, or did you have some leave or something? Or
I had 2 weeks leave.
2 weeks leave. So then you basically. So did you go to Vietnam as part of a unit or just by yourself?
By myself. They just filling slots.
I got it. So you joined this
division,
Bravo,
yes.
Company,
yeah,
of the
123rd
Aviation Battalion.
Yes.
So what was the job of? What was the Aviation Battalion's job overall, sort of?
We ferrying, transporting troops by air to different locations.
Basically army troops.
Yes.
Mostly probably totally by helicopter.
Yeah, yes.
So the battalion had a bunch of helicopters, a bunch of helicopter pilots and crews.
Yes.
And you and.
My job was a crew chief.
A crew chief.
On the UH-1 Huey helicopter.
And
we'd go up on missions. I would be on the left passenger side, the cargo side.
Back behind the pilot?
Yes. Meaning a 30 caliber machine gun.
I see. So what's the responsibility of a crew chief?
Checking the fluids and doing pre-flight inspections.
So you had to clear the chopper?
Yes.
For?
I had to walk around, do a 460 degree walk around of the helicopter, make sure there was no damage, like cracks in the rotor blades.
So you really looked those blades over very closely.
Yes. Also the windshields and
make sure everything was ready to go.
Yes.
And basically the helicopter had been, there was a ground crew, I guess, that was responsible for maintaining it or getting it ready for the next day or something?
That was my responsibility.
Were there mechanics who?
Helicopter maintenance company that was close by, and they do the actual repairs on. I just do the inspections.
No, but you had to make sure it was
airworthy.
Right. I mean, the pilots
dependent on us.
We're obviously depending on you personally. So the maintenance, and basically the helicopters, like in your helicopter, did it basically go out like every day and then come back and then go out every day? And
during the 365 days I was in Vietnam, we spent 300 days in the year.
300?
Yeah.
Much more frequently than every other day.
Yeah.
I mean, closer to every day.
Practically, yes.
And so every night when the helicopter would come back, did the maintenance people kind of have to look it over?
No.
No.
It was me.
Well,
my responsibility.
You looked it over.
Yeah.
And then if there was something that needed fixing or something,
yes,
then you'd tell maintenance.
Yeah.
And then somehow they'd magically come and get something done, so you're ready to go the next day.
Yeah.
Wow. And this was a Huey, a UH-1, and that was the main kind of transport mode, wasn't it? So the troops that you would transport, they were part of your airborne, of this company?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Of the battalion. In other words, there were a bunch of like infantry, army infantry.
They were assigned to the company.
Assigned to the company. And then they would be assigned to your helicopter to be taken out, well, maybe not always to yours. In other words, they'd have different missions.
Yes.
But describe a typical, describe, say, from the start of the day, somebody has a mission to offer. What's the whole process of kind of communicating that mission and then going ahead and executing it?
We'd have a briefing of the pilots that were going out on that mission, the pilots and the crew chiefs.
So you'd be with the pilot?
Well, the pilot and co-pilot, the crew chief and the door gunner would all be in that briefing. And then I'd go out, do the walk around, checking the helicopter for airworthiness. And then we'd go out on them, load up the troops and leave. Go out on the mission.
And this was all happening, so you'd do the briefing like early in the morning?
Yes. About 6 o'clock in the morning.
So you'd be up at 4 or 5?
Yeah.
The briefing. breakfast, briefing, and then the proper troop unit, like a squad or something of Army infantry?
Yes.
How many troops would typically be carried in the helicopter?
Eight. Yes.
That was kind of its capacity. It was capacity an issue? I mean, weight.
Yes, it was.
Weight's important, right?
Yes.
So who kind of monitored that? Was that part of your responsibility?
Yes, it was.
But you didn't actually know what the helicopter, I mean, you had to estimate, right, what the load was? Or did you actually, I mean, you had no way of really knowing exactly, right?
No.
Wow.
I just make sure that there were only eight infantry plus the four crew members.
Was there ever any cargo, or was it mostly just troops that you were taking?
Mostly troops.
And again, a typical mission would be to take the troops out from Chu Lai and place them out in the field?
Yes.
And typically they would then be out in the field for some, I mean, it wasn't just a quick, or was it just a quick insertion and out?
They go out for two or three, sometimes an entire week.
So you'd put them down in a rice paddy or something, and then they would go off, and they would have a mission.
Yes.
So the head of that group might be a squad leader or something.
Yes.
Like that, and he'd have a mission to accomplish.
Yes.
Your mission was to get them to a point.
Yes.
And then they had something to go do.
Yes, they did.
Would you typically be the ones to come back and retrieve them? Or would somebody, well, it did?
Just as long as it was one of our unit's helicopters that would go out.
It didn't matter. I mean, you weren't necessarily assigned.
No, I wasn't.
To that group of troops. But in addition to being crew chief, you had another responsibility on the flight, which you talked about briefly. What was that?
I was with a 30 caliber machine gun.
You were a door gunner.
Yes.
That's how you described it. So basically you had that machine gun.
Yes.
And the purpose of that was basically defense, to make sure the helicopter could land. Typically,
yes.
did the helicopter like land on the ground, or did it hover while the troops, I don't know.
Sometimes it would actually touch down if it was like in a field.
Yes, yes.
Or if it was on a berm between an open area between the rice paddies,
yes,
would land there, and the troops would get out on the either side, and would take off,
and go back to your base.
Yeah.
So, did you have to use your machine gun often?
Quite often.
Because you could basically see enemy troops?
Most of it was all jungle over there. They'd hide in the tree line.
Got it. At the edge of the field.
Yeah.
Or something. So they'd be in the trees.
Yeah. And we'd provide cover fire for the
Got it.
For the
so
troops.
You wouldn't necessarily see them.
No.
But you would basically spray that so that they would not come out, or
yeah.
they'd be on the defensive. to let the troops get out of the helicopter and establish a position.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. And there was another, there was a door gunner on the right side too?
Yes.
So that was the crew, you, the other door gunner, the co-pilot, and the pilot?
Yes.
And did you basically stay together as a team?
Yes.
Was it basically that team for the whole, for your tour?
Yes.
Wow. You must have gotten very close to those guys.
Yes, I did.
So at that time, I forgot to ask you this. When you came out of training, what was your, back at Fort Belvoir, what was your rank?
I was a E4.
Which was also known as a specialist?
Specialist fourth class.
Fourth class. And were you, was that your rank as well when you were in, during your tour in Vietnam?
Yes, it was.
I see. So you mentioned that you were in Vietnam for 365 days.
Yes.
You were part of the same crew. And what was the, so you were with Bravo Company, which was, they had a nickname, didn't they?
Warlords.
The Warlords?
Yes.
That was just that company. I mean, what were there, like four companies in your battalion or three?
There was A Company, B Company, they had the Blue Ghost, which was part of the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment.
What was it called? The
Blue Ghost.
Blue Ghost?
Yeah.
Huh.
And then we had the attachment from 198th Infantry Brigade.
Those were the troops?
Yeah.
Okay. The Blue Ghost, were they like the attack helicopter? I mean, like the Cobras and that sort of thing, or?
No, they had the same type,
The same equipment.
Yes, UH-1.
Did the Warlords or Bravo Company, did they have some, was there some special type of mission that they typically had, or was it pretty much standard?
Pretty much standard.
And occasionally you would probably have to, did you have to go in and kind of rescue troops who may have found themselves.
I can't remember it.
That's great. Well, you.
Well, we not only had the UH-1s, they had the AH-1.
Uh-huh.
Cobras.
Okay. Was that part of Bravo Company?
Yes.
It was.
They were helicopter gunships.
So what was the Cobra's function?
Fire support for the troops.
Ah, so would a Cobra come out with you, for instance, to provide?
Yeah. Yes.
I see. So they themselves. Or would they have troops to get to?
No.
No, their mission was basically to provide firepower.
Yes.
And they had tremendous firepower, right?
Yes.
I see. Did a Cobra usually accompany you?
Yes.
I see. Wow. So that took a fair amount of coordination then between the pilots of the of your Huey and the pilots of the Cobra?
Yes. Hmm. On the Cobra, they only had, when it went up on missions, with just the pilot and the co-pilot.
A two-man crew?
Yes. But on the ground, they had a crew chief.
They had a crew chief too, but yes. He was not part of the flight team.
No, he wasn't.
Well, you Did you ever have any, did you, I mean, I know that helicopters were a, how to put it, a kind of a high risk job.
Yes.
In Vietnam. You obviously made it through. Did you have any narrow misses, for instance, that you could talk about or that you're comfortable?
I'm not really comfortable talking about it.
That's great. That's great. Well, thank you very much for sharing what you've shared about your time in Vietnam, and
yes.
Thank you for doing that. So 365 days rolled by. Time was up on the calendar, and you said, I'm going home.
Yes.
How'd that feel?
Leaving felt good. But when I got back to Fort Lewis, Washington.
Fort Lewis, Washington, yep.
I went to, made the mistake of wearing my uniform and going to the airport in Seattle to catch a flight back to Boston.
Okay, you went to Fort Lewis and then you transferred to the Seattle-Tacoma airport?
Or? Yes. And there this 17-year-old girl come up and called me a baby killer and spit on me.
Really?
Yes.
That can't have felt very good.
No, it didn't.
I certainly know, most of us are aware, that was a very...
It was during the anti-war protest.
This would have been in like late 1969?
Yes.
When you came back? So you were based, this was the height of political unrest?
Yes.
In the country?
Yeah.
And we all heard about this sort of thing, but probably it wasn't a small number who experienced it, but I'm sorry that you had to.
Well, there were a lot of us that when we came back there got the disrespect from the civilians.
Especially if you wore your, well, I guess wearing your uniform was, which is what, because you were proud of your service, of
yeah.
course, as you should have been. But that didn't work out so well.
Nope.
Well. I'm sorry. A lot of people are sorry now.
Yeah. And then I got out of the service.
So you got back to Boston, you flew back to Boston.
Well, I got out of the service at Fort Lewis.
Ah.
And then flew back to Boston and stayed about a year.
In Boston?
In the Boston area. And joined the National Guard, 101st Engineer Battalion.
I see.
In Reading, Massachusetts.
So you did that as a part-time thing, and
yeah.
you also did some kind of work, I guess, in the Boston. But you kept your hand in.
Yes.
Military service.
Yes.
The reserves. So how long did you do the National Guard thing?
About a year, year and a half, maybe.
I see.
And then I re-entered active duty.
You went back to active duty?
Yes.
What prompted you to jump back in, Ron?
I just couldn't find work. Nobody would hire a Vietnam veteran.
Really?
Really. And then they sent, I stayed a week processing back in at the at Fort Dix, and then they sent me from the
After Fort Dix, you went to where?
They flew us to Germany.
To Germany?
Yes.
So you were back in business?
Yes.
Back to Germany?
And I spent 3 years there.
And you, what did you do there?
I was, went back to my school-trained MOS, military occupation specialty.
Thanks for explaining that, MOS, which was power generation equipment mechanic?
Mechanic. I was with the headquarters company, 2nd of the 33rd Armor, part of the 3rd Armor Division.
Aha, uh-huh, in Germany.
Yes.
And again, this was Cold War time, and so
yes.
And so, so what would you? What would a typical day be for you in that sort of, or you know, typical work that you would do?
Oversee the maintenance of
The power generator.
Yes.
So you, this would be like out in the field.
Yes.
With one of the.
Well,
you know.
Well, so we spent most of the time in there at the base.
At the base.
Yes.
And, was there a bunch of equipment there at the base?
Yes.
That you had to keep up.
Yes.
And then it went out, that equipment went out into the field sometimes?
Yes.
With like mobile, as people went out to mobilize?
Yes.
Well, was the base itself was it a temporary kind of thing or was it basically a big permanent base?
Permanent base.
Permanent base. So part of what you did was just maintain the equipment that was part of that permanent base?
No, the equipment that was part of the battalion.
So it was equipment that would go out in the field.
Yes.
And you had to just keep it up in ship-shape condition.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, so you did that for a few years, and did you enjoy doing the work, the
yes.
power generation equipment?
Yes.
You must have been getting, I'm sure you had a great aptitude for it. You must have been getting really good at it.
Yes.
And you had, so you worked with like a team of mechanics?
Or yes.
Were you sort of supervising them, or were you?
I was still the E4 at the time.
So you got your hands dirty?
Yes.
Must have been rewarding to bring a piece of equipment back to
yes.
life.
Yeah.
That's great. And 3 years, so did you, you'd been in Germany for 6 months, then you came to Vietnam and you went back to Germany. Did you like Germany? I mean, as a place to be?
Yes.
Did you get a chance to see much of Germany besides?
Yes, I did. They have several recreation areas, centers. The Armed Forces Recreation Centers.
Oh, I see. We're okay, Tom.
Yeah.
So you went to the
Birch's Garden, and I got to see the Eagle's Nest, where Hitler's retreat.
Oh, and where was this?
In Birch's Garden.
I see.
It was up on the top of a small mountain.
Huh. So had they pretty well preserved it?
Yeah.
So you could go through it and see
yes.
where it was he?
Yeah.
Was that?
Yes.
I guess that was probably a major tourist attraction.
Yes, it was.
Huh.
And then they had another one, Garmisch. I went down there during the winter and did some skiing.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Back in my limber days when I
Well, good. We were all more limber then.
Yeah. Yes.
Did you like to ski? Were you a good skier?
I was fair.
Good. This was in the, so, okay, so, well, a lot of beautiful country there, I'm sure.
Yes.
That's great. Okay, so you were doing that for a few years, and then we're going to kind of...
Oh, while I was there, I got down to Munich for Oktoberfest.
So do you like beer, Ron?
Yes.
Did you drink beer there?
Yes.
Good. That's kind of the idea, right? Good. Sounds like a memorable experience.
Yes, it was.
Good. We're going to kind of move along a little bit. Just for the record, but after that, you came back to this country.
Yes.
And I think you said you were in Fort Huachuca, Arizona?
Yes, Fort Huachuca.
And you were assigned to another...
It was a signal unit.
Signal unit. And they too had power generation equipment, and you basically were doing the same sort of thing.
Yes.
And after Fort Huachuca...
I went back to Germany.
Back to Germany.
Three more years.
I guess the Army had a huge presence in Germany, obviously, and for obvious reasons.
Yes.
And what unit were you with? Where were you for this your next time?
I was with the 1st Signal Battalion.
With the, okay.
In Kaiserslautern, Germany.
Kaiserslautern. And again, doing basically the same thing. Keeping all the generation equipment up to snuff. Now, just to get a sense of time, I have marked down here, that was roughly in the 1977 to 1980 kind of time frame.
Yes.
Does that jive with your recollection?
Yes.
So back in Germany, so by then you had become, by that point, you've been promoted, I think.
Yes.
So you were...
I was promoted to a Sergeant E5.
Sergeant E5.
Yes.
I see. And still doing power generation equipment repair.
I was a supervisor.
Got it.
For that section.
Got it.
But I'd still get my hands dirty.
You still could get your hands dirty. Yeah. Good. It sounds like you like to keep your hands in it.
Yes.
So that took us to 1980. And then in 1980, you came back to the States to go to, I think you said, Fort Lee?
Fort Lee, Virginia.
Virginia. And that was 80 to 82 or something like that.
The end of 81.
End of 81. And what were you doing in Fort Lee?
I was in the audiovisual equipment repair. Because I had gone to school that reclassified. I wanted to change my MOS.
Oh, okay. To audiovisual?
Equipment repair.
So that's another specialty.
Yes.
I see. And so then, okay.
And from there, after the school at Lowry Air Force Base, I went to Fort Lee, Virginia.
After the school. Yes. So then you practiced what you had just been trained to do. Okay. Okay. And that took you to the end of 1981.
Yes. And then from there, I went to Korea.
Oh.
And I spent 18 months there. And because of knee problems, I just couldn't run anymore. So they put me out on a medical discharge.
Oh, I
under honorable conditions.
I see. knees, so you had something in your work or whatever, maybe being on your knees a lot, working on it. Is that what kind of did it?
Yes.
Basically wear and tear?
Yes.
Huh. I can imagine working on equipment, you've got to get down to where it is.
Yes.
So in Korea, though, you were there for a couple of years or a year and a half?
Year and a half.
And what did you, what was going on in Korea at the time? I mean, were you, whereabouts were you stationed?
We were in a place called Pyeongtaek. It was south of the DMZ, halfway between Seoul and the DMZ.
Okay.
And I was with a maintenance company. 520th Maintenance Company.
Right. So were you back in the power generation business?
No, I was doing paperwork.
Okay.
Logging incoming work orders.
Okay.
Work requests.
Okay. So this was a support unit that you were with.
Yes.
Part of the Army.
Yes.
And again, but this, in this case, it was an administrative, more administrative than a hands-on repair type job, I understand. So in 83, with your bad knees, you left the Army under honorable discharge.
Yes.
And that was 83. So then you came back to the States?
Yes.
And
my parents had moved to South Carolina, so I followed them down.
Oh, okay.
I was living with them for a while.
Mm-hmm. And you basically, so did you stay and work in South Carolina for some time?
Yes. I worked several jobs. Worked in a pet store, a pet shop, one of these automatic car washers. And then got a job as a prison guard.
Prison guard, huh.
Well, we were called correctional officers.
Correction officers. How'd you like that?
It was okay.
This was still in South Carolina?
Yes. And then my parents moved just across the border into North Carolina.
Okay.
And I stayed with them there. Worked as a certified nursing assistant in a nursing home.
I see. How long did you do that?
3 years. Well, no, 5 years. And then I got laid off because of someone accused me of patient abuse, but I was cleared.
Great.
They offered me the job back, but I refused, and I got a job as a royal letter carrier.
Oh,
for the post office.
Oh. So you were working for the Postal Service?
Yes.
Great. And a rural letter. So you were out in the on the hustings delivering mail?
Yes.
Great. Usually still in North Carolina. This was in North Carolina?
Yes.
I see. When did you find your way back up to Massachusetts?
My father passed away in 1999.
Okay.
And my mother didn't like it, wasn't happy down there, so she moved back up
to Nashua. It must have been quite a change, living in the South
Yes.
versus kind of in the Northeast. your father had passed away. Your mother wanted to come back, so yes. She came back up to Lowell, or to where?
Nashua, New Hampshire.
To Nashua, and did were you with her?
Yes.
Okay. So that brought you back to the East. During the time that you were back out of the service, did you stay in the reserves, or did you have any connections with any veterans groups or that sort of thing?
No.
You pretty much, right? Just out of curiosity, do you remember your service number?
My original one, US 51729644.
Very good. I remember mine too. I think that sticks with us, even though a lot of time has passed by. Have you been in contact with any of the people that you served with over time?
No, I haven't. You're
pretty much, right. Let me just ask a couple of questions, Ron, as we draw this to a close. Kind of your reflections on your time in the military. How important to you was serving in the military?
I felt like I was doing my part to defend the country, and I was happy to serve.
And it sounds like you, for the most part, or did you, for the most part, enjoy it?
Yes, I did.
Do you feel that it, I mean, obviously from, so you had a total of, what was it, 18 years?
16.
It must have had some significant effect on your life. I mean, how would you describe it?
My tours in Germany were very enjoyable because I got to travel around. While I was there, I got to go to Switzerland, or Lucerne, Switzerland, and also got to London.
London, England.
Yes. So the changing of the guard and Buckingham, at Buckingham Palace.
Right.
The Tower of London, Big Ben.
All of that.
Yes.
Great. So you enjoyed the travel, the opportunity to see other parts of the world.
Yes.
When you were in Korea, by the way, did you get a chance to get to places like Seoul or whatever?
No, I didn't.
Probably not. I wanted to say one important item. Decorations while in the military. I know you are a decorated veteran. Can you, and I think you mentioned that you got an Army Commendation Medal. Could you talk about what that was about, what it was for? Or maybe two. Did you get two?
I believe I got two awards because of, I got a lot of letters of appreciation and letters of commendation. So the military decided to give me those twice.
I mean, the Army Commendation Medal is a significant. I mean, they're all significant, all of your decorations. But I believe probably the, if you will, the highest level was those Army Commendation Medals. Were those for your work mostly like in Europe, in the power generation?
Well, the first one was my service in Vietnam.
Oh, as a crew chief?
Yeah.
Great.
And the second one is because of my what my peers or people that were above me in rank decided I did outstanding work. So they recommended me for the second award.
Great. That's wonderful recognition. Congratulations. So what, is there one experience in your military career that sort of sticks out as being particularly memorable, or a person you knew or did something with? You know, just what, you know, something that really stands out to you.
There was an infantry platoon sergeant,
E6. And this was where, by the way?
In Vietnam.
In Vietnam, uh-huh.
Helicopter was on, got shot down, and when it crashed,
this
it caught fire, and he burned to death.
Oh my, Ron.
Yeah, I found his name on the
wall
that heals.
The exhibit here?
Yeah, that was here.
I know, it was right here at the hospital.
Yes.
You found his name?
Yes.
Had you found it anywhere before?
No.
This was just within the past couple of months, right?
Yes.
I mean, I know that it was here. Was he had he been a good friend of yours?
Yes, he was.
So he was on a different helicopter.
Yes.
And he was an infantry, so he was like a leader of infantry troops?
Yes.
A platoon sergeant?
Yes.
So he had a platoon on the helicopter and it went down?
Yes.
And this is really the first you'd...
It hit me hard and I started crying.
Well, it's a bittersweet thing because
yes.
On the one hand you were glad to find him.
Yes.
But on the other hand, not so much.
No, it wasn't.
Well, the wall that heals, which is basically a replica of the Vietnam Wall in Washington, right?
Yes.
Like a 3/4 scale replica with all the names of
yes.
all the people killed in Vietnam, who died in Vietnam.
Yes.
And you were able to find his name.
Yes.
What was his name?
Richard L. Dixon, D-I-X-O-N.
Well, nice that you could, thank you for sharing that with us.
And I got this, one of the, volunteers over there took a tracing of his name.
The rubbing?
Yes.
So you have that?
I've got it taped to my wardrobe door.
Oh, okay, then when I see you, in fact, maybe after this interview, maybe we can go look at it.
Yes.
Wow. So, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to share, or is that about it?
That's about it.
Well, listen, thank you very much, Ronald Audley Cole, for taking the time to share this interview.
Yes.
It was great.
Thank you
so much.